Okay.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Bowden Education Summer Podcast Series, hosted by me, Catherine Carden. Our podcasts gain perspectives from experts in education on a wide range of topics, with the aim of inspiring and motivating teachers, as well as getting you thinking. Speaking to such great people doing amazing work never fails to inspire me. I hope you feel the same. Today, I'm delighted to be talking all things first aid with Jo Giovini. Jo is a former FE teacher, having gained her PGCE from the University of Hull. But Jo is now director and trainer at Act Fast First Aid, a company Jo established to bring first aid training into schools, colleges, and indeed universities for both staff and students through offering a wide range of courses. Jo's won awards for her business too, and I know firsthand how much students enjoy and benefit from her training. Jo's also written a first aid guide for university students, an ideal book for every university flat. And my son certainly has his copy in his wee flat in Bath. Jo is also, in her spare time, an expedition leader, canoe coaching officer, and business mentor. Truly inspirational. Welcome, Jo.
Well, thank you, Catherine. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So, Jo, obviously, you're no longer working as a teacher, but if you could just summarise your kind of career path to date and how you've ended up where you are.
Yeah, sure, of course. So I've been teaching for over 25 years, like you said, in FE mainly, teaching English as a second language. That was kind of my specialism for many years, but also branched into kind of parenting and things like local history, because my degree's in ancient history and archaeology. So when you're in FE, you kind of get to teach all sorts. So it was really good, lots of really good experience. So I did that for about 25 years, and that was brilliant because it suited me with a family, having the holidays, and I loved it. And then when my children got old enough, we started doing some outdoor activities, and one of those was canoeing. So I kind of then went down the canoeing path and became a canoe leader and a canoe coach, which I loved. And then I kind of fell into the first aid almost, because my friend was teaching at Cambridge University, and she said, oh, you're a canoe coach and you're a teacher, you can come and help me on the weekend and get some extra income. I said, okay. And that was it. That was the start of it, about 6 or 7 years ago now, and absolutely loved it. But it was only just a hobby business to begin with, because my main career was in teaching. But once the children got old enough, it was a case of deciding to kind of take the plunge rather than having one foot in different areas. I thought, I'm never going to really establish the business until I really go for it. Scary, but it was worth doing. It's been great so far.
So tell us then, what kind of drives and inspires you to continue working still within students, within educational settings?
I think it just seemed like a natural transition, because it was my background. Like we said earlier, working with, we're in schools, with people with a teaching background and that kind of knowledge. It's just such a lovely audience to work with. And I leave kind of work thinking it doesn't even feel like work, because I always work, it's always with really positive people. And that, you need to surround yourself with those kind of people. I find that going into schools really, really inspirational, really.
And let's move on to talk about your first aid and the courses that you offer. But first of all, why do you think it's so important that children are given access to learn first aid as part of their sort of school curriculum, if you like?
I mean, there's many reasons. Firstly, it's a life skill. You never know when you're going to have to literally be faced with a casualty, and you've got to think on your feet and act. So it's empowering children with those life skills. 80% of accidents happen in the home. So they could be the one person that could make the difference between saving, an adult, a sibling, a grandparent. So these are life skills. It's really important. And as you know, it's now a mandatory part of the curriculum from September last year in primary and secondary schools. but kind of thinking of the bigger picture for us as a country, we're way behind our out-of-hospital cardiac arrest survival rates. Only 1 in 10 adults survives a cardiac arrest at the moment. Europe are much better because they've been teaching their children first aid for years, right from kind of primary right through to secondary school. So by the time they become adults and they may need to act in a first aid incident, they're more likely to do something. It's better to do something rather than nothing. And I think people here are afraid because they don't have the experience. They did first aid 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and they don't want to get involved because they think it's changed. They're going to do more damage, break ribs, get sued. So people do nothing. And I think teaching children, I mean, I've worked with lots of children in primary school, and they learn it so quickly. Within an hour, we can teach primary children how to perform CPR, use a defibrillator, call an ambulance, and that's the difference that's going to make, you know, in generations to come, to save lives.
Great. And but teachers will say, and I know you say it's part of the curriculum expectation, but teachers already kind of groan at this kind of more. And I know. I've spoken to teachers that have said, where can I fit it in? And then of course you've got the catch up now from COVID. And then, you know, I can remember talking to one teacher and she says, well, I have to go out and do the mile walking, and I have to do the English and the phonics, and I've got to do this. And now you're asking me to do this. Where can I fit it all in? That teamed with ever tightening budgets and financial flows of money, how would you kind of talk about navigating both of those challenges? You can take one at a time, but
it's difficult, and I fully appreciate the strains that the schools and teachers are under. It's just adding extra things to the plate without offering the funding and resources to be able to deliver it. And so we try to come up with a solution, and yes, we do. We can either go into schools and help teachers and help schools do that. Unfortunately, there is a charge for that, but you know, we have to obviously to cover our costs. We try and keep it as low as we possibly can for schools by doing a group rate, and that works out much, much cheaper just by, you know, day rate. And sometimes 200 students can attend over a day, like a carousel type basis, and that is a lot more cost effective for schools, so the children and young people are getting something. The other solution that we've come up with recently actually is to train teachers in schools to do first aid. Because it's, rather than having something else to learn, we then create all the resources for them. So we create lots of free resources anyway, but we find the best people to teach first aid are actually teachers, because they understand how people learn, and it's a skill. And so people, you know, it's not a case of standing at the front listening to me for, you know, 4 hours and watching a PowerPoint. You have to do it, and teachers really understand that. And I think if we can provide resources for teachers, if we can train teachers so that it doesn't feel like another thing to learn, and that we've got their back, that any changes and updates in policy and practice, that they're going to get that with us. So we've just started that, and we've kind of got our first courses starting in August with some teachers at a local school. And they will come under our centre as trainers, so they can even then deliver qualifications to their staff as well once they're trained. So right, hopefully saving them time and money, but also empowering them with the skills and resources as well. And that's unfortunately probably the best answer I can give.
No, it's just a really hard, it's a hard conundrum, isn't it?
Fully appreciate it, yeah.
Where do you balance? And do you go, have you thought, I know it's new, but have you thought about going out to schools to run some courses, maybe, you know, if they want all their staff trained, or if they want to be a hub and offer it to their local consortium? Or
absolutely, yeah. And so, you know, a trust or a local cluster could have a group of trained teachers in school that could then be the nominated first aid trainers, saving schools literally thousands in their first aid training budget a year. Because they can then do it in-house, and all they'd have would the administration and certification cost. We'd keep them updated with the resources, the newsletter, the lesson, all the lesson plans are done, the PowerPoints are done. So all they literally have to do is just learn how to deliver it, and then, you know, hopefully take it from there.
Cool. And for that, just give me an idea, because I'm always asking, because when people talk to me, I kind of say, oh, you can do that. Kind of, what kind of cost is that? Is it a per head or group cost?
It depends. So it depends. If they've got a teaching qualification, level three and above, all they need to do is the full first aid at work qualification plus a centre induction with us, which takes about a day or two. We have to observe them delivering a part of it. And that works out about kind of between £250 and £300 per head. But then that means that they can then deliver however many courses that they're able to and in their timetable within that school. There is an ongoing cost, like a £15 a month subscription, but that's just for our, they get all our resources, our newsletter, PowerPoints, like I said, and lots of updates. We have lots of assembly resources that we provide for school. So yeah. We're going to try it anyway. It's a way forward, way that we can help our schools, hopefully, and reduce the costs.
Brilliant. And that sounds to me like a perfect solution to invest the money up front, but save masses and make sure that your children are accessing things that will be really, really useful to them. So building on to that, how does this learning, obviously the children learn first aid skills and there are benefits to that for anybody that they come into contact with who needs first aid in the future, but how does it support their development? What other kind of peripheral benefits are there for them?
For us, what we tend to do is we kind of develop the children, the young people in groups. So when we do the activities, it's always kind of aimed at particularly our CPR and defibrillator sessions. It's aimed at kind of group work. It's aimed at working as a team. And what we do is, so for example, I'll do a demonstration and each group then has to nominate a team leader. They then have to work together as a team leader then has to be the lead first aider, because we always say there's no time for discussion. Somebody has to take the lead. And we had a brilliant course recently at a school in Wisbeach where the year eights were literally, one of them were leading a team of six people and they were performing CPR, managing the defibrillator. They had the rest of the group, they were out on the field waiting for the ambulance, waving the ambulance down, making sure the school gates were open. It's communication, leadership, teamwork. It was really fantastic to see. And these were year eight. It was phenomenal to see them working together. So yes, they learned first aid, but it also, it was developing them as well in their groups, which was great to see. Great for the teachers, and we've got really good feedback. So we're kind of doing that more with the groups that we work with as well. Hopefully developing more things and fitting into that PSHE curriculum and some of those things as well, meeting some of those requirements.
And surely they're gaining confidence throughout their time. They probably come in quite nervous. Certainly I would go in quite nervous about the whole thing.
Oh, it's wonderful to see. Yeah, absolutely. They're beaming by the end of it because they've literally saved somebody's life and used a defibrillator, which they've only just seen as a box stuck on the local community centre, and they've no idea what it is, how to use it. And so just to have that confidence to then be able to do something, and they can, just takes one person to make a massive difference and save somebody's life. And that'd be wonderful if they can do that.
And we've talked a little bit about how you work with staff, but I know you work with a wide range of different staff, student teachers, so that we've got that flow of understanding about first aid teaching, but also first aid on site in schools, really. And are there any other ways you work? Talk to me about how you work with teachers, really, to support them.
I think that's why we're different, and that's why I chose to specialise in schools, because we listen to what schools need, and we do know from our experience what schools need, but certainly what they need to meet their legal requirements as a school, as an employer, and obviously looking after young people and people that come onto the site in school. But equally, thinking about teachers, school staff have several different hats on throughout the week, doing different activities, whether that's Duke of Edinburgh's PE, geography. So we kind of listen to what the group needs, and we then, again, to try and save the school costs and time, we'd combine many courses. So for example, we've just run a course with the first aid at work, which was a blended option, but because we had lots of PE teachers in there, we also brought in the level three sports first aid and really focused on some of those pitch side assessments that they need to do, those return to play decisions, how to assess an injury, and basically, and all of the other things like CPR and defibrillator as well. So we, that, and with the feedback we get is that, oh God, it's so different. It's not just your generic first aid course that we've done in the past. It's so specific to what they need, whether it's Duke of Edinburgh, like I said, at sports, depending on what the staff team are doing with the students and the activities, whether going on residential school trips, NCS, so it's a whole range of things. And I think that's where my outdoor experience comes in quite well, because we do tend to go outside from a lot of our first aid courses, which most teachers are like, oh, they've never done that before. And we always say, you know, accidents don't happen in nice, warm, cozy classrooms. They're out there on the pitch when it's January and you've driven to work in your lovely dress with no coat. And what, how are you going to look after not just your casualty, how are you going to look after yourself, your team, for 4 hours waiting for an ambulance on the school pitch? So we look at that. We look at real, we do real-time drills around the school. Literally running around trying to get the, you know, the defibrillator, and it's, well, it's, I always say it's fun for me. I do this every day, so I've got to enjoy it. So I'm always trying to come up with new things, new activities, just to keep it really fun and really relevant. Because then it's just giving them that value. It's one day with me, but me making sure that they're getting everything that they need. Because it's confidence, not just skill. It's about the confidence. And people might have skills, but without the confidence, they're going to stand back and not do anything. And so it's my job to build that confidence. Yeah.
And that's where you're kind of, the meeting of the teaching with your first aid training now comes together, because you get what schools and educational establishments are about. You're not just saying, well, I deliver first aid, here it is.
No.
Out of the box. I'm going to talk to you. I understand that you have very different environments.
Yeah, we contextualise every course. Yes, we've got a syllabus to stick to if we're doing a level three qualification, but we certainly make it adaptable and contextualise it to what that school and that team needs. Otherwise, they'd switch off and it'd be boring. So it's got to be what they need.
Yes, yeah. So going back to you then, Jo, as we kind of come to the end of our conversation, what then, looking back in your career in education, has been your greatest achievement, do you think?
Oh, good question. I think starting my own business, it's really changed me. I've really grown my confidence, and just being able to build something and create something and have that freedom to do that. Like I said to you earlier, I'm now working with my daughter. I've been with Pride every day, like I said, and it's to me, that's wonderful. You know, it's making a difference to her life as well. And if I can, that's my job, isn't it, as a parent? But for me, it's about just building something and you know, creating something that people need and you know, want to do. And and I think for me as well, working with international schools, that was a really big achievement recently. It's almost like, I can't quite believe it. You know, I'm going to Berlin. What? So that was really lovely.
Did you have a contact there, or were you contacted sort of as a surprise?
Well, do you know, I mean, like I said to you earlier, when lockdown happened, literally income stopped overnight. It was a very scary time. So I thought to myself, what do I just kind of flounder, or do I dig deep and find out what, you know? So I wrote that book, the First Aid for Youth Expeditions book, and I thought, just do something that you know. And it gave me the time to do it. And then a school in Munich bought it after, just during lockdown, and we did some online learning. And so it's from literally from that book. So from the darkest time that I had, and creating that book has now led to some amazing opportunities. And then obviously going to Munich, and then Munich then recommended me to Berlin. And so that was just wonderful. Yeah, and it's almost like a pinch myself moment, you know.
Excellent. And the book about the university first aid one, it's just perfect. And I,
oh, thank you.
When you kindly sent me a copy, and I had a son go to university just in September, and I looked at it, and working in the university sector myself, I kind of, it's one of those things that should be in every room in halls of residence. Absolutely. Every flat in a halls of residence, really, as part of the welcome pack.
That's my aim, Catherine, but unfortunately working in and on the business is difficult, so I could do the whole marketing team to do it.
Oh gosh,
that, That is the aim. And I know many universities do actually have all of this information online, but I think what they're missing is sometimes is if people have severe anxiety, psychosis, particularly, and I know this from my own personal experience with one of my children, they can't access computers and screens because that sets certain paranoias off and things like that. So that's why I wanted a coffee table book so that it was accessible for all.
But if it's in those, you know, I'm thinking of those communal kind of areas in a student flat of maybe 5-6 bedrooms, if it's in the communal area, there's also, if something does happen, it's something to grab, isn't it?
Grab, yeah, that's and the idea. Yeah,
I think
yeah.
When you're in that panic, grabbing, knowing yeah. It's there and grabbing your first aid manual
yeah.
would happen much more naturally than flapping around on your phone. So
yeah, or trying to find it online through the university website. Right. But it's all there. So university, and so what I'm offering to universities is they can brand it themselves. They've got their own information in there for their own students in their own city and their own accommodation, and students can write in it, so they can write where the GP is, where the local A&E and things like that is, so they can, they've already found that other parents can do it, and then give them the book basically. Yeah. So that information's in there. But I mean, it was also important to me, not just to about the first aid, but to add the mental health first aid in there as well.
Yeah,
and the new edition coming out in June, and this is just, it's awful to say it, but we're adding first aid for drink spiking. And you know, and it's awful to have to include something like that, but it's a sign of the time. So the new book has what to do for drink spiking, for first aid emergency and things like that, and getting help.
So if any university people are listening to this, go to your accommodation or whomever, because this would be a great addition. I really do think it's fantastic.
I love that your son's got it.
Yeah, he's got it. Yeah. It's fine. Thankfully, he hasn't had to use it.
But oh, good, good.
You never know, do you? And then have you got one more, Jo? Have you got an ambition that you still hope to achieve? Something that's rumbling away?
It's probably more so there's so many, Catherine. This is the trouble. I mean, for me, I want to build a national, if we're talking about obviously the business, it's to build that national brand, to be that go-to provider for schools, that value, that trusted provider, so schools know what they're getting, that consistency every time. So to have that national brand would be, you know, would be good. Like I said, I'm building it slowly but steadily at the moment, but yeah, personally, to move to the Lake District, live somewhere by the water and canoe every day
whilst building the national brand.
Yeah, absolutely.
From your canoe.
Yeah, work from my canoe. I know, I do sometimes.
Oh, it's been a joy, Jo, teaching you, and I really admire your work. And I've seen your business grow and how you've worked with schools, university trainee teachers, for a long time now. So it's just lovely to see how you grow and how you responded as well during COVID, which is tremendously tough when you're a face-to-face organisation. So thank you so, so much.
No, thank you for having me. It's been lovely to see you again and chat and catch up.
Yeah, and you must, if you're listening, if you're interested in finding out any more, you can go to ACTFAST First Aid website at www.actfastfirst.com. And of course, follow Jo and on Twitter at ACTFASTFIRST. And then if you have any queries, I'm sure Jo would be more than happy to pick them up either via the website or on Twitter. So thank you very much, Jo.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you.